The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me.' But the righteous will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whenever you did it for one of the least of my brothers or sisters, you did it for me.' And then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you gave me no clothing, ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' But they will say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' And he will answer, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of the least of mine, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. It's a very recent feast. One or two background. 1925, Pius XI put this feast into the calendar of the church, and it was meant to be a statement of the kingship of Jesus Christ over the universe. And he was trying to somehow reform what he appeared to be a hedonistic culture growing in Europe at the time. It's put in here at the end of the year in our liturgy, and it's a graphic imagery coming from the book of Matthew, and it's found only in Matthew's gospel. Now, there's a good biblical opinion here among scholars saying that the church of Matthew is shaping here about the year 100. Matthew is the last of the gospels to be shaped. And this parable, this imagery, is directed toward non-believers. And the little ones spoken about here were in fact the early Jewish converts, the followers of Jesus. And the condemnation is directed toward non-believers for the manner in which they treated the first followers of Jesus in the church of Matthew. It's kind of an interesting thing to look at it this way. I spoke 2 weeks ago about eschatology. Eschatos in Greek means the end or the end things. Logos means word literally, but it means a study. It's a study of eschatology. It's a branch of theology that deals with the last things: death, judgment, eternal life, heaven, hell. That's eschatology, this branch of theology. And in this branch of theology, there are two main divisions. One is future eschatology, which is be good, because then you'll be rewarded when you die. If you sin, you're going down. I mean, we will generate a fair amount of guilt here, that the reason you want to be good now is because you will inherit heaven. That's future. You tend to do things now as an investment in the future. Now, we don't think that much right now, but if we thought the end of the world was coming soon, we probably would think that way. And the early church believed that the end of the world was coming soon. So their investment wasn't really a long-term investment. It was a kind of a short-term investment. And it makes more sense when you look at it as a short-term investment. This future eschatology has enormous imagery value. And this, interestingly, this by way of introduction to the teaching here. Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel in 1508. It took him 4 years. And he is expressing the eschatology of the day. You know, so the future eschatology. And of course, the church was in very bad spiritual condition at that time. The spirituality was a very low ebb. There was lots of corruption in the church. And therefore, just a few years later, in 1517, Luther will post his thesis and begin the Reformation, the spawning of the Reformation. And part of his big objection was the selling of indulgences. And this is like it's like you get a credit card and there's no charge on it. You know, one of those things. So we'll sell you an indulgence, so when the end comes, you'll jump over the others who didn't have the indulgence. And Luther, that's one of his big objections in the Reformation. But you can see how the eschatology of the age appears in the reredos of the Sistine Chapel, painted, it's a fresco by Michelangelo, about 1510, 1511, somewhere there. Now in this, it's rather interesting. He has the king on the throne separating the sheep and the goats. The goats are in the left field. You're a goat, you're in left field, sinistra. And those on the left, the condemned, are all looking inward. They're in darkness. Those on the right, you're in right field, dextra. The sheep, the chosen ones on the right, are all looking up and looking out, and they're enlightened. This side of the painting is full of light, full of angelic revelation. The other side is dark, it's inward looking, it's selfish. Now that was the eschatology of the time. That was future, that's the future, that's what's going to happen. But now when we try to bring this into the present day, which theologians call realized eschatology, which is the kingdom of God is now. We are now living eternity. It's not something in the future. When we die, it's a transmutation. But we are now living in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is now. And therefore, in the present moment, to move Michelangelo into the present age and look at his painting of light and darkness, those condemned, those lost, and those saved. Let me look at that for a moment and see how this notion of eschatology affects us today. Realized eschatology. We speak these days, a lot of public conversation about homelessness and about poverty, especially when we come to Thanksgiving and come into Christmas, we're very conscious of homelessness and poverty. But there is a type of homelessness and poverty that's very subtle, and it belongs to every one of us, and it's very easy to overlook. It's the poverty of division, conflict. I've been a priest for 53 years. I've seen conflict in rectories where priests are divided. They don't get along. I've seen conflict in homes where there is division. That's poverty. And when that happens, we begin to learn that home is not a place. Home is an experience. And where you have conflict, I've seen it amongst priests and religious orders, where you have a conflict and a division that is internal, that's darkness. That's poverty. There's a certain element of homelessness in it. Where you have greed, it's inward looking. It's selfish, it's self-serving. That's darkness. Loneliness. Mother Teresa would say loneliness is the greatest poverty. And where you have loneliness in your life, where you're empty of intimacy and close relationships, you're poor. You're in darkness. We've seen that. Maybe we might have experienced that. Jealousy destroys the soul. This condition of jealousy, resentment, judging others, it destroys the soul. That's a poverty, realized eschatology. The narcissistic arrogance of certainty that allows people to exclude other people, to make hard judgments about other people, who put people down, that's a poverty. That's homelessness. You don't have profound, faithful, enduring relationships when you have this arrogance of certainty that excludes other people. People of color, people of a different race, or people of a different belief, or a different lifestyle. Where you exclude these people, there is some darkness and some poverty inside of us that allows us to exclude people. That's the darkness of Michelangelo's imagery in the present age. Where you have light, those saved. Light of generosity. Wow. It's outward looking. The light of forgiveness. I am fully alive. I'm healed. I forgive. The light of living with patience. Patience with the humanity of others. A certain understanding of failure, a certain understanding that the sin you see in the other person is your own sin. That's enlightened. Where you have humility, you want to serve another person, you want to make this a better world, dedicate yourself to enriching and blessing the lives of others, you live in light. Gratitude, to be grateful, to thank people, to express gratitude. That's to be rich in your spirit. To count the blessings is to be blessed and to be aware of your blessing. Hospitality, to include people as a sign of light. Openness, lack of fear. Lack of judgment, to call people into your friendship, to bless people, to see humanity and what you see in the failings and humanity of others, what you are seeing is a reflection of yourself. That's the meaning of this realized eschatology for us today. We're coming to the end of a liturgical year. We're also coming to the end of a calendar year. Look back over the year. Look back at the unhealed wounds of the darkness of division. Look back over the absence of truth. They say we have a public life and a private life, and then a secret life. the secret life, that's a place of darkness. It's a place of fear. That's realized eschatology. So why do I want to live and follow Jesus Christ? I want to live in light. I want to live a wholesome life. I want to live a life that is peaceful, is meaningful. I want to be a person who can be trusted. I want to be the person who is generous, who forgives, because then I live in the light of Christ. I'm already celebrating the kingdom of God now. And this brings the imagery of Michelangelo and the imagery of the gospel into the present moment. So the question which comes to each and every one of us, to me and to you, what darkness in your life now diminishes you? It's a wound. Certain kind of inertia. Something is missing. It's a poverty. What darkness in my life am I carrying now? And the Spirit calls me to see it and to move into a place of light. And in an optimistic way, to look at our lives and begin to consider, what light do I have in my life to celebrate? In following Jesus Christ, today is a good day. It's a day of light. A day when we can celebrate God's presence in being generous, caring, forgiving, giving life to others, not taking life from others. What light do you have in your life that you should celebrate today and give thanks to the Lord? Amen.